Joining the Red River Farm Network is Agriculture Secretary Mr. Tom Vilsack. And first, Secretary Vilsack, thanks so much for taking time to talk today. I think the first item that is newsworthy we will talk about is USDA unveiled their Pandemic Assistance for Producers plan, which does include another round of sign-up for the second coronavirus food assistance program. It also includes top-up cattle payments, acreage payments, and much more. Can you remind farmers and ranchers what this new initiative all entails?
Well, it's really designed to do a couple of things. First, to actually follow through on the congressional mandate to provide additional assistance to cattle producers and row crop producers. Those payments are going out as we speak, consistent with previous COVID relief packages. It's also designed to acknowledge that in previous COVID packages, there were a number of farm groups, a number of agriculture producers that weren't necessarily included in COVID relief. And so a portion of what we're trying to do with the Pandemic Producer Assistance Program is to respond to the fact that some were not assisted, some were assisted, but not to the level that they needed. So we're providing an additional $6 billion of resources. It's going to be provided to a dairy donation program, to the biofuel industry, to those who had to euthanize their livestock due to COVID. A variety of ways in which we're going to help specialty crop growers as well, all designed to provide sort of a balanced approach, if you will, to COVID relief for American agriculture. And there's also the opportunity from the American Rescue Plan as well to deal with socially disadvantaged producers who are going to get some benefits. They're going to get some debt relief. And I can go into great detail about that in terms of the important role that's going to play in dealing with the cumulative effect of discrimination that's occurred over a period of time to a number of American producers. So the goal here is to provide balance, to provide assistance and help to everyone who has been impacted by the COVID situation, to allow us to get on the other side of this healthcare crisis and economic crisis.
Yes, certainly. And like you said, certainly some old stuff that has been updated and some new as well included in that initiative. And so while you said you can go into more detail about some of the new stuff in this Pandemic Assistance for Producers plan, I think that transitions nicely into both the American Jobs Plan and American Rescue Plan as well. How do these all tie into one another? And as a whole, what do these plans do for food, agriculture, and rural America?
Well, I think it's a three-step process that President Biden and Vice President Harris have as they look at the current situation in our country. One is to obviously get on the other side of the pandemic. So the American Rescue Plan provides additional resources to expand vaccination sites to encourage more people to get vaccinated, because we're not going to get on the other side of the healthcare crisis until enough of us have been vaccinated and protected against the virus and the various variants that are occurring as a result. At the same time, it's a recognition, second piece of this, is that the pandemic has caused a major disruption to our economy, millions unemployed, many losing a number of hours of work, significant disruption certainly in the food service area, which impacted American agriculture. And so the rescue plan is designed to provide additional help and assistance to struggling families, to small business, to farmers, a wide variety of folks who have not been helped by previous COVID packages, to make sure that everyone gets a little bit of help to get on the other side of the economic crisis. Now, the American Jobs Plan is then designed to take the next step of saying, okay, we've got through the healthcare crisis, we've got beyond the economic crisis that it caused. How can we build the economy back better in a way that restores the middle class and provides real new opportunity? And I think in that you see significant investments for rural America. You see investments in transportation, improved highways and fixing bridges and better rail system, looking at our inland water system and our ports to make sure that we can get product to market more quickly. You're looking at a significant expansion of broadband, which I think everybody understands is important for the future economic opportunities in rural places. You're looking at rural co-ops getting help and assistance as they convert from more expensive and energy to cleaner energy, less expensive energy. You're looking at investments that we made with American farmers in embracing climate smart agricultural practices. You're looking at a drought resistance technology being advanced and invested in. Bio-based manufacturing, allowing us to convert agricultural waste into a variety of products, creating new jobs in rural communities. All of that is part of the American Jobs Plan. So essentially gets us not just past the pandemic and the economic crisis, but actually helps us to build the economy back in a much stronger way.
Yes, well, on that point, Secretary Vilsack, that transitions nicely into another thought that I had is COVID-19 certainly changed the way of how many Americans got work done, with many working in a different capacity and at different hours. I know you experienced that in your first weeks on the job, working remotely from home. And we, of course, saw all those impacts trickle down at local USDA offices across the country. And so what is the latest update on COVID protocols at USDA? And go right ahead. Yes.
I'm sorry. Well, initially, there was a decision made across the government and across USDA to essentially limit the ability of those to work in the office, if you will, to no more than 25% of the workforce in any particular office. And the theory behind, of course, was to make sure we could maintain social distancing, to make sure that we were masked up and that we were trying to contain this virus. We were able to obtain a little more flexibility with reference to our Farm Service Agency offices that will allow folks to go back to work in greater numbers, perhaps not 100%, but in greater numbers, that will enable them to have the face-to-face interaction that they need to have with many farmers who are not able to do stuff online or not, just simply would prefer to be able to deal with somebody in the office. And so we're going to see the opportunity for more interaction. I would say that the Farm Service folks did an amazing job during the pandemic, because we've not seen a drop-off in signups or any kind of the work that needs to be done to get people prepared for planning and so forth. All of that has kept pace with pre-pandemic workloads and ratios. So the Farm Service people have just done a remarkable job. Many of them couldn't wait to get back in the office. We've now given them flexibility to do that. Some are still reluctant because of a variety of concerns for their health and their family's health. We respect that, and so we'll continue to obviously have many who will remotely work, but hopefully this flexibility makes it easier for people to get whatever help they need in the form that's most convenient for them.
Yes, certainly. Well, I know also we're awaiting some key leadership position appointments coming down the pipeline. Any update on that?
Well, the process obviously involves, it's complicated because USDA has over 300 positions that are quote-unquote political positions. These are appointed positions. To be able to get an appointed position, you have to, first of all, be considered. You have to go through a vetting process. You have to have your background checked. In my case, I had to list every place I had lived since I was 18 years of age, every job that I've ever had since I was 18 years of age. A lot of information I had to supply concerning my finances. All of that has to be reviewed and looked at and examined before a decision is made. So it takes time. And then once you basically have people identified, then, of course, those who have to be Senate confirmed have to go through that same process with the Senate, have to be interviewed by Senate staff, have to go to a Senate hearing that has to be scheduled, then on the Ag Committee, and then, of course, the full Senate has to schedule a vote. So it takes time. We're in pretty good shape. In relationship to other administrations at this point in time, we have more of our people on the ground, if you will, than the previous Obama administration or Trump administration, but there's still work to be done on some of the more high-profile positions. I'm hopeful that we will get a deputy and a general counsel here in the very near future, as well as folks who will be involved with operating and running the Farm Service Agency offices. Our hope is that we get those folks confirmed this spring, so they can get to work immediately.
Yes, well, as we get close to wrapping up our conversation here, Secretary Vilsack, a couple more questions, but I do want to focus on trade agreements. We heard a lot about USMCA and the Phase One deal with China this past year. Obviously, we continue to focus on those trading relationships. relationships. What's your plan and message with trade?
Well, been reaching out to ministers and secretaries from countries. I just had a conversation today with the minister from Brazil. I think I've talked to the ministers or secretaries from Canada and Mexico, Japan, China, Brazil, the UK, the European Union, just to name a few, France also, Germany as well. The idea here being to develop a relationship to focus on areas of common concern, as well as to raise issues. So with the Canadian minister, raise the need for full implementation of USMCA as it relates to dairy and wheat. With our Mexican counterpart, talked about the glyphosate ban and concerns that we had about that, as an example. With our Japanese friends, we talked about the fact that we've reached the level under our phase one trade agreement with the beef quota, which means that we'll now face a higher tariff, and we're looking forward to starting conversations about how those tariffs can be reduced. With our Chinese friends, we had a chance to talk about the phase one agreement, received assurances that at this point in time, China is intent on trying to follow through with continued purchases. That is a very difficult relationship. It's a very complicated relationship. There are a lot of things that could happen that impact and affect that relationship that might change the relationship. But in the meantime, we're going to continue to encourage our Chinese friends to meet their obligations under phase one. And I also had the opportunity to visit with Ambassador Tai, who's now at USTR, U.S. Trade Representative. She's our ambassador. We talked about the need for constant communication between her shop and my shop to make sure that we are speaking with one voice about issues of concern. And that we're doing everything we can to break down trade barriers. I think there are opportunities for, obviously, we're expecting and anticipating a very strong export year. I think at this point in time, we're projecting the possibility of an export record, topping the record that was set when I was secretary the last time. Hopefully those projections are borne out. Hopefully China continues to purchase, and hopefully that continues to support some of the strong commodity prices we've recently seen.
Yes, well, I certainly appreciate all of your time today, Secretary Vilsack. In the final 30 seconds, minute wrap-up, to sum up what we talked about today, I know farmers are always looking ahead to the future. Any encouraging words you would like to leave them with about the work your administration is doing? I know a lot of farmers worried about drought out there and some conditions that they can't control. What would you like to leave them with?
Well, obviously, we're going to do everything we can to make sure that the programs that are designed to provide help and assistance in the face of a drought or other natural disaster are fully available and doing the job that they need to do to provide the help and assistance. But we're also taking a look at ways in which in the future we can create new revenue streams, new income opportunities, if you will. I think climate has an opportunity for us to create new ways for farmers to make money with what they do and what they want to do with their land and in their operations. I think we're going to see efforts to support climate smart agricultural practices, efforts to support carbon sequestration, efforts to look at ways in which agricultural waste can become an ingredient and a product, if you will, to sell to manufacturing facilities that can convert it into a variety of chemicals and materials and energy and fuel. Opportunities, I think, for us to look for ways to expand the biofuel industry. Very interested in a Department of Energy effort to create a drop-in aviation fuel that would be 100% bio-based. That's a tremendous market opportunity for us in the future. So I think we're going to continue to focus on trying to get people through these difficult times, focus on a brighter and better future with additional markets and more markets and better markets and new markets, all of which should help increase farm income over time.